here's the deal. I'll try to educate you. Gonna familiarize you with the nomenclature. You learn the definitions.
From the studios of WHQR in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline, WHQR's weekly public affairs program promoting civil discourse, fostering sincere appreciation of differing points of view, and deepening listener understanding of community issues. Hello, I'm Cleve Callison, inviting you to join us as we welcome our guests and encourage you to be part of the discussion on today's show. Our topic today is uses and misuses of English. As I was saying earlier in the program, our media-saturated society is constantly bombarding us with new expressions and ideas, whether from sports, the media, advertising, business, or politics. We hear new ways of using language all the time, some good, some bad, and some ugly. I hope we'll hear some examples of each today from our listeners and from our callers. My guest in the first segment of the show, actually for the entire show, is WHQR's own Nan Graham. Nan graduated from Tuscaloosa High School and attended the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, where she graduated with an AB in English. She obtained her master's degree from the Citadel in Charleston, South Carolina. In 1995, Nan began broadcasting commentaries here on WHQR, and she continues them along with teaching at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington in the Honors College. She has taught everything from first grade to graduate level university courses. And she says the last one is far easier than first grade. A lifelong Southerner, Nan's view of eccentric family that she has and her friends have delighted public radio listeners for years. Her second book, In a Magnolia Minute, Secrets of a Late Bloomer, as well as her first, Turn South at the Next Magnolia, Directions from a Lifelong Southerner, were both on the Southeastern Booksellers Association bestseller list. The books are compilations of her best and most popular radio commentaries here on WHQR. Nan is presently working on her third book of commentaries and a novel set in post-World War II Wilmington. You can visit her website at nangraham.com. Nan Graham, welcome to Coastline on WHQR.
Thank you so much, Cleve. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm delighted that you're here. And one of the reasons we wanted you on the show is because, first of all, we've been doing some heavy-duty topics here on Coastline for the first month of its existence. We've done stories about the film incentive and coal ash ponds and just all kinds of weighty topics and meaty topics. And we wanted to do something. We actually thought we were going to be fundraising today, but our fundraising campaign ended a day early. It ended last night.
Hallelujah.
So we thought, you know, fundraising, we'll do a lighthearted topic, but we're going ahead with this topic anyway, because I've been looking forward to it so much and very glad to have you here with us.
Oh, thank you.
What's the status of your third book of commentaries? When's that going to come out?
Oh, that's a good question. Soon, I hope. I'm in the revision stage right now, and they're all written, and I just keep on writing them and doing them, so I've got plenty of material, but it has to be revised and cleaned up, and the spoken word is a little bit different from the written word.
Oh, so. Yes, we know. And that's something we can talk about here today.
Yes, because, we can.
Yeah, that's an important facet of it. Are we talking about what people write on the page, or are we talking about what they say when they're talking to people, and in what context are they talking to people? So that's all part of it. Nan's recent commentary on language called Me, 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 Me drew a lot of listener response on our webpage, and in fact, it was kind of the inspiration for today's show. It's why we wanted to talk to Nan about this. So we'd like to hear your views of language. What's important? What's not? What do you value in what you read and hear these days? What would you like to see go away and never be heard from again? And, of course, we want to hear about your pet peeves, but it would also be great to hear about examples of language that are done well. So let us have some of those also, not just not solely the complaints, please. You can send an email to coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at @coastlinehqr, and in a few minutes we'll open up the phone lines as well. So, Nan, why did you decide to write about the pronoun me for your commentary?
Well, first of all, I have to tell you, the title isn't me, 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 me. It's me, 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 me. It was my music.
It
was a little musical aspect. I have no musical ability at all. So, but because I think it really is a bothersome thing to me that people think that me is incorrect at any point in language. Mm-hmm. And I think it's gotten out of hand on TV. You hear it everywhere. But I guess it starts with this thing of between you and I,
oh, yeah.
And which you hear constantly. or going to town.
Is that like fingernails on a chalkboard to you?
Oh, very much so. It really, I call it the country club pronoun because people think it's so proper to say I all the time. And the other thing is, I is not the only player in the game. Me is, of course, the objective case of, well, then I get into English teacher speak.
That's all right. We might have to do some of that. I think all three of us who are going to be on the show today have been English teachers at one time or another.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. And it's a curse and a blessing. But anyway, I think that that's one of my pet peeves. And there, I have a whole list of pet peeves, though, so I don't want to give you a laundry list at this point. How about you?
That's all right. Well, I have a list of things that are pet peeves.
Well, what's the top of your list?
The top of my list would be words like disinterested, you know, which people take to mean uninterested. You know, I'm disinterested in that. There is actually a very specific meaning of disinterested, and it means a judge, for example, who has no financial interest in the outcome of a case is said to be a disinterested party, meaning they're able to rule with fairness and not be unduly swayed by a bias. But the meaning uninterested has almost driven that out. And frankly, these days I'd be reluctant to use it as I just did because people would not understand what I meant or they think I meant something else. So that one bothers me, that a good word like that has fallen out of favor. And I'll tell you another one is begs the question, where people now use that to mean this raises the question, like this certain event begs the question of so-and-so. Well, that's not what it means. Begging the question is a logical fallacy. It's exemplified by the story of when, you know, have you stopped beating your wife? In other words, the question at debate is implicit in the language that you've got.
Right.
So that one bothers me, too. I'd rather see people use that correctly.
That would be nice. I have to tell you, the one I'm afraid to use correctly is fort and forte.
Right.
Because, and I have some words with some of my friends sometimes, because, of course, if singing, singing is a bad example. If playing bridge and being a good bridge player, and that's really, that hobby is really your fort.
That's your fort, right? You do not pronounce the E.
Right.
Everybody out there, stop doing that right now.
Everybody out there is saying that, though, and they're saying, oh, she's wrong. She's wrong. It's forte. And here again, I don't know where, and that, of course, just is a musical term, I'm assuming, meaning loud, play loudly. You play forte.
Italian,
but it is not your forte if you're an excellent piano player, or if you're an excellent golf player. That is not your forte.
I hope my wife is listening to that because that's one of her pet peeves.
Oh,
also.
I'm so glad. Jenny, I'm with you on that one.
Okay. Now, you had a little way in your column. We're talking with Nan Graham on today's Coastline, talking about uses and misuses of grammar. And your column about I and me, you had the very simple trick that people should have been taught in school, or most of us was, about how to figure out which to say. So let's let people know about that.
Well, yeah, and I'm so old. I'm kind of the dinosaur amongst us at this point that back in the day, that was one of the first things that you learned. First of all, your mama always told you when you were saying, well, me and Henry are going to town today, and your mother would always say, oh, no, dear, not me and Henry. Henry and I are going to town.
So you got two things going on there. One is the pronoun. The other is the order of
the
words.
The order of the other person goes first, as they would through a door. So you got this idea, I think, that I was correct all the time, which, of course, it isn't. But the easiest thing to do is when you're saying Henry and I are going to town, or Henry and me. I heard that on TV the other day. Me and Henry are doing so-and-so. And I thought, when did that creep into the language? Mm-hmm. But if you remove the other person, it becomes very clear. She is going with Susie and which? I or me? Well, you wouldn't be going with I. You would be going with me. Mm-hmm. So it's really a piece of cake. But nobody seems to be interested in that particular piece of cake.
Well,
so we're working on it.
I think a lot of public radio listeners are. But, you know, you grew up in the South. I grew up in the South. And I'm sure you've heard people say, well, me and them are going to the country fair or something like that. You know, that's it's not that you're in danger of being misunderstood, but it is the case that you might you might be stereotyped by people who hear you use language like that. And if you want not to be stereotyped, you should stop it.
We're already stereotyped because we speak slow and all of this. So let's don't add insult to injury with that.
Now, we had an email from Juanita that came in a while ago. Remember, our email address here is coastline@whqr.org. And our Twitter, you can tweet us at @CoastlineHQR. This is an email from Juanita a little bit ago. She said, 52 years ago, my fifth grade teacher at Forest Hills made the use of I or me very simple for me. When one is not sure which to use, leave out the other person and see how the sentence sounds. That's exactly what you were just saying.
Absolutely.
For example, Ryan and I or Ryan and me went to the store. Would I say me went to the store? No, I think not. If one has an ear for grammar, this trick works. I know it makes me sound old. Hang on just a minute. I just lost my place there. I know it makes me sound old, but grammar is important to communication. So
absolutely.
Thank you. So that email from Juanita agreeing totally with you.
Absolutely. Good for you, Juanita.
Yeah,
and I'm so glad someone is trying.
Here's an email from Kathy that just came in. She said, I was glad to hear Cleve say frankly and not quite frankly. One of my pet peeves is when people say quite frankly. You're either frank or you're not. And Richard writes in and says, I'd like to get rid of the word incentivize to make an incentive. All right. We're going to take a break here in just a minute, but let me remind you that you're listening to Coastline. If you've got a word about language or a pet peeve or just something that you'd like to talk about or even a compliment you'd like to give about language, we'd like to hear from you on this program. Our email address is coastline@whqr. We're on Twitter @CoastlineHQR. That's CoastlineHQR on Twitter. And our phone line is 910-343-1138. We hope to hear from you in the next segment where we welcome Barbara Bush. We'll be right back.